Here, we can find something. Morning, we'll be in chapter 41 of Isaiah, and I'll begin by reading it. It's an awesome chapter. Of course, I think all of them's awesome, but I like this one. Verse 1, "Keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength, and let them come near. Then let them speak, let us come near together to judgment. Who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings? He gave them as the dust to his sword, and as driven stubble to his bow. He pursued them and passed safely, even by the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, with the last, I am he. The isles saw it and feared. The ends of the earth were afraid, drew near and came. They helped every one his neighbor, and every one said to the brother, to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with a hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. But you, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called you from the chief men thereof, and said unto you, thou art my servant, I have chosen you, and not cast you away. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, yea, I will help you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that are incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shall not find them. Even them that contended with you, they that war against you shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel. I will help you, saith the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth, that thou shalt thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. You shall fan them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord, and shall glory in the Holy One of Israel. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue fails for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the desert the cedar, the shittah tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert a fir tree, the pine tree, and the box tree, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that they may consider them that know the latter end of them, or declare us things to come. Show the things that are come hereafter, that we may know that you are gods. Yes, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Behold, you are nothing, and your work is not, is of naught. An abomination is he that chooses you. I have raised up one from the north, and he shall come from the raising of the sun, shall call upon your name, and he shall come upon princes as upon mortar, and as the potter treads clay. Who has declared from the beginning that we may know, and before time that we may say, he is righteous? Yea, there is none that shows, there is none that declares, yea, there is none that hears your words. The first shall say to Zion, behold, behold them. I will give to Jerusalem one that brings good tidings. For I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor, that when I ask of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their molten images are wind and confusion. Now let's go back and see what he's got to say about it. Keep silence before me, O islands. O islands, what does that mean to you?
Even nations.
Anybody else got any view of it?
Kind of a separated people.
Isolated.
Yeah, they do it all.
That's the base word there, isolated. Now, who do you think he's talking to, isolated?
First fruit.
We're isolated from the rest of the world. You got to know you feel different when you're in among everybody else, don't you? Didn't he call us aliens?
Yeah.
Aliens don't talk like everybody else, don't walk like everybody, don't dress like everybody, do they? We're different. Is there anything wrong with different? No. We're just different. Everybody is different. But there's a group of people he's called together, first fruit, and they're different from others because he's chosen them that way. He chose that group of people. And didn't he even say that there in verse 9? You are my servant, I have chosen you, right? He's trying to tell you something here. It's not your choice, God has chosen to put you in something. But anyway, Spike, it should say, keep silence before me, O islands, or O isolated ones, and let the people or the nations renew their strength. Let them go ahead and do what they want to do. Our purpose is not to go out there and try to destroy the church doctrines and the churches. That's their business. Let them play. Let them play in the sandbox. It's okay. Let them renew their strength. Let them come near. Let them speak. Let us come near. And the word together is not really a good expressive word. It should say united as one. Let them come near together or unite as one to judgment. And to me, that's Romans 6. When he died, we died in him. When he was buried, we were buried in him. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected in him, weren't we? Guess what? Is that united as one? That's the best example I can think of. We were with him. He said, who raised up the righteous man from the east and called him to his foot? What's the foot mean? Your lifestyle, your style of living. He said, who called this man that they raised up from the east? Who was that man from the east? Huh? Hello? Well, yeah, the Christ in him. He called it, yeah, Jesus, but the Christ in him. He called it from all of us, didn't he? And called him to his lifestyle and gave the nations or the Gentiles before him and made him rule over kings. He was a king of kings, wasn't it? And the kings he's ruled over, I know the world's going to say, he ruled over all the kings of all the nations. But you know what? He ruled over these kings. See? Aren't we called to be kings? Come on. So he's ruling over us. He's not concerned. Did he go make King Herod do anything? He didn't change. Who's the kings he's ruling over? It's us, see? There you go, first fruit. He gave them as the dust, the kings. He gave them as the dust. What is the dust? The dust was the serpent food. Didn't he say the serpent food was the dust? To his sword. And what's the sword speak of?
The word.
It's the covenant. And remember I said in Psalm 17:13, David said, Lord, deliver me from the sword, which is your sword, that's God's judgment. Okay, and he brought him there of judgment, and as driven stubble to his bow. And what does a bow represent?
Covenant.
We can see it as a weapon of war or a weapon or a covenant. A weapon or a covenant. Which way would you think we're talking about?
Covenant.
It's a covenant. He used a natural thing to tell something spiritual, and he pursued them and passed safely. Even, and the word even shouldn't be there, by the way or by the course of life. That word right there, way, should be. By the course of life, he passed them, and he had passed them. He had not gone, passed by the way, he had not gone with his feet, or he had never walked that way before. He had never walked as the God-man. And not talking about walking a path anybody had never walked on the earth. But he's saying the lifestyle that he lived was a way that no one had ever lived before, had they? Jesus was the first person to walk out that covenant, wasn't he? And that's who we're talking about, first fruit. He's the head, the first of many brethren, right? Who has wrought and done it? He said, who has wrought this and done it? Anybody know the answer? God did it. God did it all, didn't he? Calling out the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, and that's Yahweh, that's the Father. I, the Lord, the Father, the first and the last, I am he. I'm the one that does it all. Now, you can say he's egotistical if you want to, but I'm going to tell you he's right. I've heard people say, well, God was arrogant and egotistical. And I said, no, he's right. The only reason you can say that he's arrogant and egotistical, is because you are.
Spirit has no ego.
Well, I'm just saying they think he is because they have one. See, we have a tendency to judge people from where we stand. And if we're standing in a place of egotism and pride and arrogance, what will we see in everybody else? If we have a fault in us, what do you think we're going to see in everybody else?
Same
thing. If someone's always calling someone a liar, wonder why. Someone's quick to call someone a thief, I wonder why. Huh? It's because it's their fault and they see it in everything.
Aren't they trying to level?
They're trying to level the field.
So that they can feel better about.
Sure. But see, if they can accuse everybody else of what they're doing, then it won't be so bad when they're revealed. That's what they think.
Yeah. And all that's not so bad.
Yeah, because everybody else is doing it too. Okay. The isles saw it. The isolated ones. Okay, not the isles, but the isolated ones. They saw and feared. The ends of the earth trembled, is what I should say, and drew near and they came because of who he was. They helped everyone, his neighbor, and everyone said to his brother, be of good courage. So the carpenter, or the craftsman, should say, encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smoothed with the hammer, him that smote or strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails that it should not be moved, or it shall not totter or fall. So they're building themselves their own God. Correct? Can you see it? They're building their own God. And I know so many people today think, now I know Israel was a bunch of idolatrous people because they built these calves and these different creatures and they coated them with gold and they bowed before them. And you know, an idol is not necessarily a chunk of wood with gold and silver on it. It's right what's between our ears. Anything in my life, and I'm saying anything and I mean anything, that is more important in your life than God is an idol. God is number one. Our spouse is number two, our children number three, and right on down the line. That's the way it works. God's number one. My wife's number two. And then my family beyond that. And I'm not necessarily talking about my natural family either in my life. You know, it's not in my life. That's just the way it is with everybody, you know, here or there. Everybody's got different ways. Verse 8, right? But you, Israel, anybody know what that name means? It means he will rule as God. See, Israel was the example of God on the earth. Just like Jesus was the example of God on earth. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Right?
Like we are.
Just exactly like we are. First fruit should be the example of the Father. Right? Didn't Jesus pray in John 70, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you? That'd be like we're all the same, wouldn't it?
It'd be an exact representation of God
the Father. Absolutely. It's a representation of God the Father. That's what we're supposed to be. So when he said, you, Israel, are my servant. Now, he didn't say, you're my counsel, did he? And most people get elevated themselves too highly and they want to be that counselor to God. Well, God don't need a counselor. He needs servants. He said, Jacob, but you, Israel, are my servant, and Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. He said, but I chose Jacob. Okay? What is Jacob?
Sheep.
Well, what does the word Jacob mean?
Geographic.
Mm-hmm. Whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham. And what is Abraham?
Father of the multitudes.
Father of the multitudes. Okay? But he's that seed of Jacob, of the father. So he's the father figure. So what would Jacob be? Same thing, a father figure. And then when his nature changed, he became that same image of the father, didn't he? Israel, he will rule as God. And it's right on down the line. Okay, right on down the line. But it wasn't the whole world, was it? That first fruit. But you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, who's he talking to? First fruit, right. It should be, whenever I say that, you should say me. I know you did, I heard it. It should be me. Who's he talking to? Should say me, he's talking to me. If he isn't talking to you, what good's it doing? That's it, the weosses. Whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called you from the chief men thereof. He said, I've called you out of the hierarchy of the world. I've taken you away from that. He said, I've called you from the ends of the earth, from the extremities of the earth, I've called people to get them away from that teaching of the world, that religious system that says you are gods. No, you're not. I'll make you the gods. See, God will make you the gods, not what man does. And said to you, you are my servant. Again, not counselor, my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you away. Now, what part of does that say to the doctrines of the church that you've got to make a choice? God said, I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. Verse 10, he goes on and says, fear not. You fear not. He's telling you, you fear not. What should you be afraid of?
No.
There you go. Be anxious for nothing. Because I am with you. Actually, I am within you. Be not dismayed because I am your Elohim. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will protect or aid you. I will sustain you with the right hand or the power of my righteousness. That right hand speaks of the power and strength of God. He said, I'll use my power of my righteousness to uphold you and protect you and sustain you. What more do you need? You think you've got anything to fear in that? Nothing. You should fear nothing that comes toward you. Absolutely nothing. That doesn't mean if someone jumps around the corner and says, boo, you're not going to jump. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your life and living your life. What man can do with me doesn't make any difference. God's here to sustain me. It doesn't mean he's going to give me a castle to live in up in heaven. You know, it doesn't mean any of that. It says he's going to sustain my life. And when he's ready for me to be finished here, my life will end. There's no need of being here if I've got nothing to do. So when I'm done, I'm ready to go. I understand that. So as long as I'm here, there's something for God to use me at. And when he's done, then I'll go on and be back with him in spirit. Okay? Completed. Behold, verse 11. All they that were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded. You know what that word confounded really means? Huh? They'll wander away. Okay, they'll just wander away. I think I'm not missing my stuff here. No, excuse me, I'll say it again. They'll be insulted and humiliated. What'd you say, Lisa?
Disgraced.
Pretty close to it. It says insulted or humiliated. And they shall be as nothing. And they, and that word they, do you know what it really is? It's a Hebrew word, ish. And the man, and that man, and those humanity, it can be used as humanity also, and the humanity that strives with you shall what?
Perish.
Or literally wander away. Become insignificant.
Your carnal man's gone fade out.
He's gone. Mm-hmm. Didn't he say, Paul said, my outer man's perishing day by day, but my inner man's being renewed? See? And that's what he's telling us right here. He's giving us the new covenant. What Paul revealed to us in the New Testament is exactly what was in the Old Testament with the understanding. See, it's all in here in parables that they can't understand. Paul revealed it in the new covenant. You shall seek them and shall not find them. Them who? The ones that was after you in the first chapter. I mean, the 11th verse there right in front of it. The ones that were against you. the ones that were treating you wrong, that were incensed against you and shall be ashamed and confounded, or literally insulted and humiliated. That's the ones. He said, you'll seek them and they shall not be found. Even, and that word them right there again is the word ish.
Couldn't that be condemnation? I mean, that's what's against you. It's been against you.
Right. He was talking then as the natural, but we know it now as the spiritual, right? He was talking about natural people being against you, but who do we talk about now? The only thing that comes against me, the only adversary I have is what?
My mind.
See? And once we know that, see, that's what Paul in the New Testament revealed to us, that this was shadows and types. And now we understand it's here. But the men that war against you shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. So the thing that wars against me is what? The only thing that wars against us is our mind, right? The only thing that accuses us is our mind. And he said, it'll come to naught. And say it again, what he said. The ones that war against you shall be nothing and as a thing of naught. They don't exist. Kind of like an illusion. Hey? Well, kind of like an illusion. It's not real, is it? It's kind of like those cherubim. Those imaginary creatures at the garden, write them here. Verse 13, because I, the Lord God, that's Yahweh Elohim, isn't that the totality? Isn't that the prayer that Jesus prayed? Make them one with me as I am one with you, that we'll all be one. See, when he says Yahweh Elohim, we're talking about the totality of God. For I, the Lord God, will what? Literally, strengthen your strength. I'll hold your hand or strengthen your strength. I'm going to make your strength my strength. Okay?
Kind of reminds you of whenever Moses couldn't speak and sent forth Aaron.
I'll give you somebody to speak if you can't speak. Don't worry about it. It'll get taken care of. Saying to you, fear not, I will protect or aid you. How many times has he got to tell us?
Like a jackhammer.
Huh?
It's a typical parent.
It is. How many times do you have to tell your children the same thing over and over and over again? But he's not lying to you. He's telling them, I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to protect you. Verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. There it is again. Fear not again. I know I've said the story before about this lady that used to go to church with years ago. She was in a tornado, and this woman was scared because her son was was home in a trailer by himself, and she jumped up and said, fear not. There's 365 fear nots in the Bible. One for every day of the week. So that's what Benny Hinn told us. And a woman said, oh, okay. And she said she calmed down. And when she told me that story, I said, but what are you going to do when she comes back and say, you lied to me, there's not. Because there's only 63. I went and looked it up. So before I confronted her, I said, what are you going to do when that woman comes back and says, you lied to me? And she said, well, it worked. And I said, but there's no good thing comes out of a lie. You can't do that. I mean, you can if you want to. That's what you want to do. But if it's sooner or later, you're going to be found out and you'll have no credibility, will you? Just tell them the truth. God said he'll take care of you. Don't worry about it.
Been deceived.
If you can tell lies and think you're getting ahead, you're already deceived and you're going to get some more deception. Mm-hmm. So he says, fear not thou worm Jacob. You know what the word worm here is? It's the word telah, and it means the crimson grub. And the story of the crimson grub is the story of the cross. This grub crawls up on the cross voluntarily. Okay? And Jesus wasn't made to go to the cross. He was chosen, and he voluntarily went there. He didn't fight it, did he? He was a martyr for everyone else. But this grub crawls up there, the female grub, and she crawls up on there and she attaches herself to this wooden tree. Sound familiar? And she lays her eggs and she's attached there and she will never leave that thing alive. She will die right on that tree. But before she expires, she releases a red dye that comes out all over the tree. And red is a color in nature in the natural sense that tells the animals to stay away from it. That red thing is poison. See, don't go. It's toxic. Don't bother that thing. So she releases that red there to protect those eggs, so her offspring will continue to prosper and grow, not be destroyed. Doesn't that sound familiar? Like somebody that attached himself to a tree and shed all their blood for us? Kind of neat, isn't it? I don't mind hearing that or talking about that one. He said, I will help you, saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I'll protect you. Don't worry about it. And he said, behold, I will make you a new sharp-toothed threshing instrument, having teeth. Now, what do you think that's saying? Do you think he's going to make you into a big sharp hoe with teeth on it? He's going to make you, okay? You're going to be that new sharp instrument, okay? You're going to be able, the threshing instrument, to bring forth the grain. When the grain is harvested, it's in stuff that you can't, it's not in a usable form yet, is it? It has to be threshed where we can get it out, where we can start using it for some purpose. And he said, I'm going to use you that way and make you this instrument with teeth. And what does teeth represent? Two things. It represents power and authority to crush. For a good reason. See, biting is a good reason too, isn't it? It can be bad if it's a lion, the wrong kind of lion, or tiger or something. But anyway, he said, it's for power, with power and authority. So he's going to make you into an instrument that can speak with power and authority. Just as Jesus, when he talked to his disciples, the disciples said, this guy doesn't teach like everybody else, like the Pharisees and scribes. He teaches as one like having power and authority. Imagine that. You think that's coincidence that these are paralleling? Because that's who we're talking about anyway, the Christ. He said, you shall thresh the mountains. What does the mountains represent? Mountains represent governments, authorities. He said, you're going to crush the authorities. What authority do you think he's going to crush? The flesh man, the religious man. In the book of Revelation, there was two beasts. Remember that? The first beast, and then the second beast come up was one that had two horns, looked like a lamb, but it was spoke like a lion. Religious beast. See, it looked good, see, but it had two horns, a duality. Okay, on the head. This is mine's messed up. But anyway, he's talking about the religious. He's thrashed the religious governments. It's going to crush them down and beat them small or crush them to dust. How about that? It's going to crush them and get them in. It's going to be in the first covenant. Dust is the first and second covenants, isn't it? Dust and sand. And shall make the hills as chaff. And that word chaff is driven by the wind. By what? The Spirit. Driven by the Spirit. So you will be a spiritual being led by the Spirit of God, would you not? You're going to be that sharp-toothed instrument. Sharp-toothed means you're going to be pretty sharp in more ways than one. You can think. You can address the things that need to be addressed. Speak them clearly, right? Verse 16, he goes on and says, you shall fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. What do you think that fan and wind's all speaking about? The Spirit in you. The Spirit that God has deposited in you will fan that chaff away, that dust away. And the whirlwind shall scatter them, and you shall rejoice in the Lord and shall glory. And literally it says to be clear and sound. Okay? To be clear and sound in the Holy One of Israel. Be clear in the sound of the Holy One. So when you speak, guess what people's going to hear? What are they going to hear? They're going to hear the voice of God coming from this vessel, or your vessel. When you speak, they're going to hear it. Verse 17, when the poor, and that word poor literally means depressed in mind or in spiritual circumstances, okay? And needy seek water, what's that? The Word. And there is none. Guess where they've been seeking it at? In them mountains up there, he's talking about you're going to crush in them little hills. They went to them religious things that couldn't give them anything, couldn't give them any water. And their tongue, and what is their tongue? It's their ability to speak. It's the organ of speech, isn't it? So when their tongue, they have no ability to speak. It fails or dries up for thirst. They have no source of the water. And see, here's what the church don't give you. They don't give you the source. They keep saying, look up here at this podium, because this is your source. And that's a lie. The source is within you. God is within you. And that's why they won't give you the source, because they don't know where the source is themselves. So they made up something to tell you, this is the source, this stand right here. That stand's nothing but a piece of dead wood. What the source is the Christ within you, the living Word. That water will never fail, will it? Then Jesus said, if you drink of the water I give, you'll never thirst again, right? That's all you got to do. Take a drink of His water. You'll be all right. I, the Lord, will hear them. See, when you get to the point where you're getting nothing, and I mean nothing, out of that religious system, you're going to cry out. And you know what? When your tongue can't speak anything about the Word of God because you don't know, and you don't know where your source is, and you just cry out, there's got to be a God somewhere, because it's sure not in this place. When you cry that out, God's going to hear you. I heard my wife say one time, I am dying in church. I've been going to church 3 times a week, and I am dying. No one's feeding me. I get more at home with us by ourselves, but I go to that church and get nothing. And I didn't understand, because I was feeding myself already. I didn't understand that. It finally came to me. She was not getting fed by going to church, because they knew nothing. That's all.
Amen.
Not beating them up, not tearing them down, just saying they have nothing to give me. That's all. He said, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God, or the Elohim of Israel, will not forsake them. He didn't say, I, the Father. He said, I, the Elohim, won't forsake them. See, we're the ones sent to do the work that God has left undone. Jesus said, I did what I did, but you're going to do greater works, didn't He? And we're going to reach out to the rest of them. Don't worry about how, when, or where, because He'll take care of it. He'll direct it when it's time. Everybody's caught up with dates and times. Don't worry about that. Just get yourself right, and Father will take care of the rest of it. He's already got His plan. How do I know that? Because He said so. My plans and my purposes will prevail. He's already got it settled. So all we got to do is settle it in our own head. Okay, verse 18. I will open rivers. What does the river represent?
Word.
It's a flow of the words. Rivers flow. Okay, they're not lakes or pools. They're flowing in high places. What do you think that high place is? In your minds, absolutely. Come on, you're getting good at this. And the fountains. A fountain is a source. Okay? It's a source, isn't it?
It's also flowing.
It's also flowing in the midst of the valleys. What is the valley? It's the lowest realms. So even in the lowest realms, in the dust covenant, He said, I'm going to create a source. There's a source in all of them. And there's going to be water flowing out of them. In that fountain, it's not going to be near the source, near as much of the flow as there is in that river, though, is there? I like the river. Wonder why I'm always drawn to the river. I will make the wilderness or the desert a pool of water. Now, this wilderness, guess what it really is? It's humanity. Dust and sand. Those first two covenants. He said, I'm going to make them a pool, not a pool, but a place, a collector of water. Okay? A collector of the Word. They're going to collect it. See, He made this humanity here. Look at me. He made this humanity here and your humanity that you're sitting in as a collector of the Word. Didn't He? Your mind is that reservoir He has filled with the water. You're filled with the water of God, the Word of God. If you would only understand that, you wouldn't believe how powerful you could be. And I don't mean to control anybody. I'm saying powerful in helping the rest of humanity. When you realize how powerful that makes you, He has given you His authority to speak His Word, not my interpretation of it. This is for you to empower yourself to be all that you can be that God has set you up to be. That's awesome. That's awesome. Where did I leave off? I'm so excited I could just fly right now. Yeah, I finished up 18. Okay. I will plant or put in the wilderness or in the desert the cedar tree. Cedar tree has a real strong root. It can stand all those droughts and cold weathers and all them things that come. He can stand it all. And the shittah tree, which speaks of a thorny tree that repels the insects. And the myrtle tree speaks of peace and joy. And the oil tree, or the olive tree, speaks of anointings. And I will set in the desert the fir tree, which is blessings. And the pine tree, which is strength. It's really an oak tree, I should say. And the box tree, which speaks of God's presence. He's going to put them all where? In that desert called humanity is exactly where he's going to put it. He's saying all these things I'm going to put in your desert. Do you see what God has put within you? Let me tell you, he's got a strong root. That's the Christ, isn't it? He put a thorny tree that cursed, that repels the insects that try to destroy you. Isn't that a protection? He give you peace and joy. He give you anointing. He give you blessings. He give you his strength and his presence. What else is there? My God, you ought to be excited about that.
Amen.
It's all there. It's all there. He's already given it to us. See, you've got nothing that you need in this life that he hasn't already given you. It's already there. Most people don't believe it. You know why? Because they can't touch it. They can't see it. They can't smell it. And they can't taste it. All with their natural senses. But my book says, blessed is he that does not see, but yet believes. He said it, I'm believing it. Maybe I'm one of them strange ducks, but I'm a strange duck. I believe what he said.
Well, that's what
you're one of them aliens.
Huh?
The aliens
there. Yeah, we're aliens. We're different. No problem with that. Have no issue with that at all. And look why he said, he put it there in verse 20. That they, cross out that word may. You see that word may in there? That ain't supposed to be there. It's an added word. It's a doubt word to start with. The King James is good for that. That they see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. Hello? I put it all in there so you could see it, know it, and understand it. That's real simple to me. I don't know. I don't know where you see it. I see it as really simple. Produce your cause, says the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasonings or arguments, says the King of Jacob. Didn't you notice he didn't say the King of Israel? The King of Jacob will argue with you. Jacob was a good wrestler until God showed up on the scene, wasn't he?
Jacob still likes his idol.
He still likes his idol, but he likes to wrestle. He likes to argue. He fussed with God all night long, didn't he? In time of darkness and ignorance, you'll wrestle with God. When you become Israel, guess what? The daylight comes up, you won't argue no more. You'll attach yourself to him as close as you can get. Verse 22, let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them declare, okay, or announce, okay, let them declare and announce the former things, what they be, that we may consider their heart, is what it should be, not them, but their heart. It's the word lab in there. Should be that we may consider, that we, it cross out that word there too, may, it's not there, it's an added word. That we consider their heart and know the latter end of them or declare us things to come. He's saying, come on, if you know so much, go ahead and tell me. Bring your arguments, show me what has been, now tell me what's going to be. How many is going to do that? They're blowing smoke is what they're doing. Verse 23, he says, declare the things that are come hereafter that we, cross out that word may there too, because it's not there, that we know that you are gods, or Elohim. Yea, do good or do evil, that we, cross out that word may there too, because that's an added one, that we be dismayed or consider, should say, and behold it together. Let us consider it together. I don't want to maybe know, do you? I want to know. Doesn't do any, maybes don't do me any good. Maybes, shoulda, couldas, wouldas, doesn't mean anything. I want to know. 24 says, behold, you are nothing. That's the ones that think they know everything. That's what God's opinion of it is. Your thoughts and your ways are nothing. And your works are what? Nothing. They're nothing. That word there should be, what says not or nothing. It's an abomination. The word and there should be it is. It is an abomination. And the word that is a preposition, but it's the wrong preposition. It should be the word to. It is an abomination to choose you. He's saying if you choose the ones that think they know everything, it's an abomination.
Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And that word right there could very easily fit disgusting. Verse 25, and it's God speaking again through his prophet. I have raised up one from the north. You know what the north speaks of? North speaks of the unknown or the hidden. Okay. We didn't know where he come from, did we? We had no idea. God brought this from himself, which was unknown to us. We didn't even know God at the time. And he shall come from the rising of the... He shall come. And when he says, he shall come, and there should be a break right there. Okay? From the rising of the sun shall he call upon your name. That thought should have broke right there where I said at the end of come. From the rising of the sun. What's that rising of the sun mean? East. East sun comes from the east. It speaks of resurrection from the time early on in his life, from the time that he comes up, and he was the sun, wasn't he? And as the sun rises from very early on, he'll be calling upon his nature and character, right? That word there, shame, means character, nature, authority. And he shall come upon princes or rulers as a wave. It doesn't say mortar like it says in the law of the translation. That word there is wave. Okay? Now, remember what he said earlier in Isaiah? He said, or Isaiah said this quote. He said, when the enemy comes in, remember that demonic comma? Like a flood, he'll raise up a standard. There's the standard being raised up right there. As the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, he'll raise up the standard against him. Right here is a standard being raised up. He chose him, right? He raised him up. And didn't it say in verse 25, I have raised up one? There's the standard being raised. Was not Christ the standard that was raised up against him? And as the potter treads clay. Who's in control? The potter or the clay? The maker or the made? The maker's in control. He says, verse 26, who has declared from the beginning that we, cross out the may, again, that we know and before time, literally that word before time is in his presence or his mind, that we may say he is righteous. There is none that shows, there is none that declares. Yea, there is none that what? Hears your words. Literally, it's the word shama, heareth is shama. They hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively to it, your words or what you say. Now, he's giving us an encouragement here. He's telling us the truth. What you say, most people's not going to hear it, are they? They're not going to respond positively. They're not going to hear it correctly, intelligently, and respond positively to it. What you say. That should let you know that everything you say is not going to create a major change in someone's life that you're going to see. When Jesus came, he preached for 3.5 years, and how many disciples did he have?
12.
He had 12. 9 of them didn't pay any attention. Only 3 of them really got close to him. Mm-hmm. Only John really got close to him. See? So if he didn't have that many, what's the big deal about having a big church? If that's not arrogance and pride. It's not about helping people, but it's about doing what God wants. I mean, they're trying to help themselves to the people instead of helping the people. Kind of like shearing the sheep and then hanging them up to butcher them. Have some little mutton for supper after they fleece them. Okay. The first shall say to Zion, the first. I wonder what the first is. No? I'll show you why. Look at the context of what I'm saying. If you look at the rest of it, it'll show you it's not talking about the first. When he says the first. And literally it says in the language, formerly I said. Okay, so it's God speaking. Formerly I said to Zion. Who is Zion? There's your first fruit. Okay. Zion is the highest mountain in Jerusalem, but there's your first fruit. Oval of Moriah Zion. That's the third realm, third covenant. So there's your first fruit. So God's saying, formerly I said to my many-membered body of Christ, Zion, right? I said to them, behold, behold them, and I will give to Jerusalem one that brings good tidings. Well, the church don't know who that is, or they sure don't know his message, do they? Because all they want to bring to you is condemnation and guilt and eternal punishment. Where's the good news? He said, I'm going to give you one that'll bring good news. Now, when he said, I'm going to give you one, it's not one person. It's that one many-membered body of Christ, the first fruit. You can look at that. I'm going to give you some verses that you can look at later. You can just write them down. I'm not going to go to them. Luke 8:1, Acts 13:32. And Romans 10:15. I think I do want to do Romans. I'll take you there. Misunderstanding in the way that they've written it. I know, but that's just the way it is. I said 10:13, but I think I really meant 9. Did I say 10:15? Okay, I said 13. I don't know why I said it for, but oh, okay, it is 15. I wrote it right. I misquoted it. My fault. I missed one. How shall they preach? Okay. Actually, it says, how shall they preach divine truth? It's what that word says in there in Romans 10:15. How shall they preach divine truth except they be sent? And the word there is apostello. That's like apostolic. And you say the word apostolic and you get stigmas in your mind from apostolic denominations. That's not what we're talking about. The word just means sent as a messenger. As it is written, how beautiful, and the word beautiful can be timely, how timely are, and timely really does it more justice. Not how beautiful are the feet, but how timely. They'll arrive there at what time? The correct time. Just on time, always on time. See why the word timely is there rather than the beautiful feet. Are the feet, and that word feet is what?
Lifestyle.
The lifestyle. Of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of condemnation for eternity. That's not what it says, is it? It says it bring peace and glad tidings of good things. Good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel because Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? We've all said that. Come on. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, the sound went into all the earth and their words into all the ends of the earth. Okay? But they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear. And you know what? We can't put them not hearing on them. Who creates that ear? God does. And so really when they don't hear, if we get offended at that, what's it for? It's for you to realize there's something in you that hasn't got the compassion it needs yet, isn't it? That's all. See? It's a teaching tool. They're here to teach us, to help us. They don't even know they're doing it. That's okay. Okay, verse 28, back in Isaiah 41. Because I beheld and there was no man even among them, and among them who? Well, all, everyone. Because they hadn't been trained. Even if you were chosen, you were not equipped yet, were you? And there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word. Behold, they are all vanity, their works are nothing, their drink, not molten images, but their drink offerings are vain and worthless, is what it should say. Their drink offerings are vain and worthless. God said, see, he's not talking about the heathen that was worshiping idols out there. He was talking about people that was worshiping him. They were bringing a drink offering to him. And he's saying, it's all worthless. It's vain and worthless. I don't even need it.
And I'd say, in James, where he's talking about their works, or talking about the works.
James chapter 2, is it? Let me see.
Faith without works is dead.
Yeah, faith without works is dead. Verse 24 says, you see then how that by works or through works a man is justified and not by faith alone. So he's saying, well, let me read above it because it'll say it. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith through my works.
They were merely working through a
traditional... They were doing it because someone told them to do it. This is our doctrine. This is what you're supposed to do. And the other person saying, I'll show you my faith through my lifestyle. How's that? Through my lifestyle, I'll show you my faith. Any questions, comments, rocks to throw, we take them all.